puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
As we all know, when we hear that music, it's time to talk to historian Gordon Goldsboro about abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Laurie.
So what have you got to tell us today?
Well, last week I hinted that we were going to Swan River to see a log building that had rather unusual architecture.
Yes.
And what I was referring to was a building that was built back in 1900, so it's now 116 years old, an eight-sided log building.
Eight-sided log building.
What they call an octagonal building.
Uh-huh. What style of architecture is that?
I'm not sure. But a very unusual one because I, in my travels, have seen relatively few eight-sided buildings.
As in zero?
Well, no, actually not zero. Oh. I've got quite a few others, in fact. Quite a few, but not a lot because It's an unusual way to build a building. And, well, of course, if you think about how to decorate a building inside, it's rather hard because there's no 90-degree corners in the rooms. It's all kind of weird, kind of shaped rooms. And I know people who've lived in buildings that are shaped like this often lament that it's a hard thing to decorate.
Hard to furnish.
Indeed.
Would they have done it because they were using short logs?
I don't think so. I mean, you look at the pictures of the building and it's a fairly substantial size. Like the logs on each side were not little stubby ones.
Yeah.
In fact, this area was just recently settled. So a lot of the trees that would have been cut down to make the logs were still quite large and mature. So I have a feeling that it's just that someone who built it was a little eccentric and
quirky.
Thought this would be an interesting thing to do.
And who built it?
A fellow by the name of A.B., which stood for Alexander Blake Sovereign.
Sovereign. Okay.
And so I call it the Sovereign Log House.
Good name.
So Sovereign was an interesting character in his own right. He came to this area and among one of the first Europeans. One thing you have to keep in mind is when Europeans began settling Manitoba and taking up farming, they settled the easiest parts first. So if you think about the parts of Manitoba that are agricultural today, the southern part is the predominance of where agriculture occurs, the area of the Red River Valley, so on, all the way out to the Saskatchewan border. And we don't tend to think of some of the other outlying areas, but of course, then after that area was settled, then the area north of the Riding Mountain National Park, the Dauphin area. And then so the last area then was the area up in what we now think of as the Swan River Valley, up north by Swan River, Manitoba. And it was settled in 1899 at a time when it was still a fairly remote place. In fact, the railway did not arrive in that area until 1899 and made it considerably easier to reach. Prior to that, to get to that area, you had to walk a very arduous trail called the Cowan Trail. So 1899, it was sort of the frontier. In fact, if you think of it this way, that was also the time of the Klondike Gold Rush up in Yukon. And this area was, in some ways, the sort of the gold rush of Manitoba. Everyone who wanted, you know, the last best place to farm was in this area of the Swan Valley. So a horde of people headed off there hoping to find a farm to take up. And so Sovereign followed them. He was a photographer.
Not a farmer.
Well, he farmed later in his later years. But I think in the initial stages, he saw himself as a photographer to document this early sort of pioneer history. So actually, some of the earliest photos we have of that part of the province are taken by Sovereign. There's a wonderful photo I've seen, for instance, of people around what they called Tent Town, which was taken, we think, by Sovereign. And it shows something very akin to these pictures you think of as the Klondike Gold Rush. You know, a whole bunch of men, and they're predominantly men, setting up a community in a fairly remote wilderness area. The buildings were initially not buildings at all. They were tents, and that's why it was called Tent Town. Then later they would build these sort of rudimentary log structures. And it was there for apparently over a year, just west of the present-day Minnetonas, Manitoba. So, in fact, if you go to Minnetonas today, you'll actually see a monument to the Tent Town where these first hardy explorers and settlers first arrived.
And then Sovereign built the log cabin around there or after?
No. Well, so by 1899, in fact, the railway did arrive, and that, of course, brought a huge influx of settlers. And so that was what led to the establishment of the community of Swan River to the west. And so many of the people at this Tent Town then moved over to Swan River, including Sovereign, and that's where Sovereign built his log house.
And was a studio in there?
There's reports of his studio being on Main Street, but there's also reports of his house being on 7th Avenue. So I'm not entirely clear if he was using his house for the entire time. But I would think probably initially anyway he would have, simply because he wouldn't have the means probably to build two buildings. So at first he probably operated out of his house. But it's also a little unclear too, because I have found a photo of his eight-sided log house. And interesting enough, in the window there is a sign that says Municipality of Swan River, Secretary Treasurer Office, which then implies that maybe he was doing that job as well out of his home.
Yeah.
But that's odd too, because I went through a list of members of the municipal government there and he's not listed. So
yeah. I looked at that picture as well, and I got the impression they're boarding up the window with a lost sign.
Well, it may be that he was just a good scavenger and he found this perfectly good sign and thought, hey, I need to cover a hole, and he just plastered it up. I don't know. But it's certainly worth looking into to see what exactly he was using this building for.
And did he have a family? What happened to him in the end?
Well, he came here to Manitoba with his wife, Violet. He had come from Ontario. They adopted some children. They had three children, all adopted. And later in his life, he farmed after he gave up the photography. In fact, he didn't do the photography for terribly long. He started when he arrived in 1899. He closed the studio in 1914, so after only 15 years, sold it to another photographer, and then was reported as being mainly a farmer at that point. So he talks about having horses and cows and things. So I guess that's primarily how he supported his family.
Hmm. And he had came to a kind of an untimely end, though, didn't he?
He did, unfortunately. In 1942, someone broke into his house and fought with Sovereign, and he subsequently died from his wounds. The person who had inflicted the damage to him was caught, was tried on a charge of murder, I suppose because it wasn't perceived as being premeditated, mm-hmm. because apparently the person had simply broken in looking to steal stuff, was then the charge was reduced to manslaughter, and the fellow was in fact convicted and served 18 months at Headingley Jail.
Because Mr. Sovereign fought with him.
Indeed. He was a tough old bird, I imagine. He was in his 70s, and the fellow that was caught was considerably younger. So it says something about this old Sovereign fellow that he was able to put up a good fight.
Yeah.
Ultimately, one unfortunately that led to his demise.
And what's happened to the eight-sided log cabin?
Well, it was then purchased by the Roman Catholic Church, who used it as a rectory, a residence for the priest. It was used for that for quite a number of years. And then more recently it was purchased by one of the local residents in Swan River who had intended to take it out to a lake nearby and use it as a cottage.
Oh.
What they found, however, is that when you want to move a building like this, it's a big undertaking, especially to cross bridges. And there were several bridges that had to be crossed to get out to there. And it was going to be such an undertaking, they said, to heck with it. So instead, what they did is they donated the building to the Swan Valley Historical Museum, which is where it sits today.
Well, we can go and see it.
You can indeed. If you go visit the museum, which is a wonderful museum, by the way, you can indeed see the eight-sided log house built by A.B. Sovereign.
Okay, there's the Sovereign Log House. Thank you very much. And next week?
Next week, we're going to come back to Winnipeg, and we're going to look at a building with very interesting masonry.
Masonry. You know what? Okay, that makes me think of something right away, but I'm not going to say it because other people are probably thinking of it too. Thanks a lot, Gordon.
You're welcome, Lori.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons ago.